Good morning. It's 6:45. It's Morning Edition from NHPR. I'm Jessica Hunt. And let's go back to Morning Edition host Rick Ganley, who's in Manchester this morning as voters head to the polls there for the city's mayoral election. Good morning, Rick.
Well, thanks, Jessica, and good morning to you. We're at the Bridge Cafe in Elm Street in downtown Manchester today as people come in and get their early morning coffee and their muffins and their breakfast sandwiches and heading out to the polls, hopefully, which opened up at 6 o'clock today. And joining me now here at our NHPR desk is Emergency Management Services Officer Chris Hickey. He's here to talk about how the opioid crisis has been affecting Manchester. Hickey authored the Safe Station Program, which designates all 10 of the city's fire stations as safe spaces for people who struggle with addiction to receive assistance and enter treatment. Thanks so much for coming in, Chris.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the offer.
I want to talk to you about, you know, obviously the Safe Station program. Over a year now since that program first started, considered an overwhelming success. What impact, what have you been seeing from the impact here on the city?
I think that what we've seen is, you know, a real rise in the community to be able to come forward and try and figure out a solution for this overall, you know, drug problem that we're having. And you know, Safe Station being something that's a homegrown program that really has had an impact on people accessing treatment has been a positive. And people want to get on that and see that, you know, any idea is possible as long as you have the resources to make it happen.
So far, 70% of participants are said now to be in the that have gone through the program have finished treatment, was what we're hearing. Why do you think the program has been so successful? What do you think of, what is it about it that works so well?
I think it's because you're not forcing anybody into treatment. You know, what you're having is someone who's coming in on their own free will. They're the ones making that decision to come into treatment, to come in and try and get the help and services that they need for their problem.
They're ready.
Yeah. They've made that determination. You know, we've seen that, you know, you try and force somebody into treatment, and I'm not saying that the courts are doing anything wrong with it, but you try and force somebody into treatment and they're a little reluctant to go through with it. But when they make that decision on their own, that's what we want to capitalize on, and that's been working so far.
And it's been touted as a model of success. Are you hearing from other cities that are trying to start these programs too?
Yeah, on a weekly basis. Chief Goonan and I hear from a department somewhere in the country that wants information on how we got started and kind of what the base model and base idea of it is. There's unfortunately no cookie-cutter blueprint-type program for it because each community is different and the resources that they have access to are different. And you know, we try and guide them and give them help and feedback with the trials that we've gone through so that the mistakes aren't made and they can get their program up and running.
What are some of those mistakes that could be made at the beginning that you've kind of seen through and been able to work through?
Some of the mistakes that we've had, you know, have been the flow of access, the flow of care, having some training with the guys and girls on the floor, you know, what it means when somebody comes in, you know, and that just because they come in more than once doesn't mean it's a failure. You know, to kind of the biggest thing that we've found that we've had to do is change the mindset and change that stigma, even amongst ourselves, of what it means when someone's, you know, addicted to these different drugs and different chemicals.